Okay, so where we left off was Rashi and the Ri. What's Rashi? What's the Ri? What are we talking about? So the case in the Mishnah of Nafla Tipas Chalav al Chaticha, that a Tipas Chalav falls on a Chaticha of Basar, where the Mishnah said that initially only that one Chaticha is measured against the Tipas Chalav that it fell on. So if you have Shishim in that Chaticha, you're good. If you don't have Shishim, that Chaticha is Asur. But then the Mishnah says something about stirring it, that when you stir it, then the entire pot is going to be affected when you stir it. Then the whole pot could become Asur. So that's subject to Machlokas, Rashi and the Ri. What exactly the Mishnah is talking about? The Ri assumes that the Chaticha that it fell on is outside of the Rotav completely. That in order to say that only that Chaticha was affected in the first place, it has to be that that Chaticha was elevated above all of the Rotav in the pot. How is it elevated above all the Rotav in the pot? It's sitting on another piece of meat. There's another piece of meat that's in the Rotav. This one's on top of the meat of that piece of meat, so it's sitting entirely outside of the Rotav. Rashi assumes that the case is that the Chaticha is part in and part out. That the case of the Mishnah, where initially, when the Tipas Chalav falls on that Chaticha, it's only going to affect that Chaticha, is talking about a case that Chaticha is partially sunken in the Rotav, and there's only some of it that's outside of the juice, outside of the sauce. So let's analyze Shitas Rashi a little more carefully, and particularly the Darkei Moshe. Darkei Moshe has three ways of understanding what Rashi's driving at, of how to understand Shitas Rashi properly. The first one that he mentions in Darkei Moshe, you know, we're going to go out of order. Let's go to the second one first. We'll do 2, 3, 1. Okay, the second interpretation that he mentions in Darkei Moshe is the Divrei Rashi, Ein Les or Ba'os Chaticha, Rak Masha Chutz L'Rotav. Meaning, when we're going to say that the Chaticha is going to be Asra on account of the milk that fell on it, that's only the section of the Chaticha that's Chutz L'Rotav. Avol Masha B'Tocha Rotav Shari, Kivin Shepar Pei Aguf HaChalav, Eino Magia L'Sham, Afilu Mashu, De'i Magia L'Sham Lo Tzitzarif Kala Keteira Levatel, V'Tzarech Lahamtin, So if the piece of meat is not 60 times greater than the milk that falls on it, so that piece of meat is halachically divided into two sections. There's a section that's above the Rotav, and that section is going to be Aser. The part that's in the Rotav is like a separate piece of meat. We have a halachic dividing line where the part that's in the Rotav is considered to be together with all the Rotav, and the chalav doesn't get there, and that part is totally mutter. That is one understanding of Rashi when Rashi talks about chutz l'rotav, when Rashi talks about only that chaticha being affected. V'od nearly, dil divrei ator v'shar poskim, osa chaticha kula asura l'das Rashi. No, not only the section that's above the Rotav, the entire Chaticha is going to be Asur according to Rashi. Midlo Chilkuba, Kumashkosa Mordechai. El Sril deba Osa Chaticha Mispashet Bekula, Avalienu Yotzil Chotol Venu Kula Berotav. That the Tipas Chalav that falls on that Chaticha gets into that entire Chaticha. Where does it go from there? Nowhere. It stops at that Chaticha. Why doesn't it spread to everything else that's in the Rotav? Because part of this Chaticha is not in the Rotav. Chaticha only shares its tam. This is, again, another example of, it's a big exercise in Emunah to learn Tarovas, that somehow that Tipas Chalav is going to spread throughout the entire Chaticha, but it stops at the Chaticha. It doesn't go into the Rotav that surrounds it. So we don't halachically divide the piece of meat into two. So if there's no bittul, the entire piece of meat becomes aser. Afilu masha betocha rotav, even that which is inside the rotav. But then the third option, or really the first one mentioned in the Darkei Moshe, da'afilu das Rashi, afal gav demitchila nesra chaticha, v'lo mispashit b'kol ha'kedera shetitztarif ha'kedera levatel hatipa. Even though initially when it falls on that chaticha, it's going to asher that chaticha, and the rest of the kedera is not taken into account to be mevatel that tipa. Mikal makom na achar shenesra chaticha. But once that chaticha becomes aser, alseris kala kedera. The whole kedera is going to be aser. Afilu beloniyer v'kisa. Even if you don't mix it, even if you don't cover the pot, it's just partially in the rotav, so that's going to be enough. To aser, v'chein kasev haran, sol perakol abasar, dil das rashi, gara lo nier, mishanier. De belo nier, achaticha nesra, v'olseres kolakadera, achkach afil lo nier klau. That if you were not chetichah nesra tchila, and then it goes back and asks everything else. If you were not minari the kedera, so what happens? The milk falls on that chetichah that's partially in the rotav, partially out of the rotav. It asks that entire chetichah. If there's not shishim in the chetichah connected the milk, chetichah nasis nevela, that whole chetichah is now aser, and now it's going to aser everything else. Ooh, but if you would have been minayer mitchila, you would have been minayer the whole time, then you would have been allowed to measure shishim against the tipas chalav. But now you can't measure shishim connected the tipas chalav, you can only measure shishim connected the entire chaticha of basa. So not only does the issur spread throughout the entire piece of meat, but into the rest of the pot to make everything aser. Now, it's a little difficult to understand how that piece of meat could aser the rest of the pot if you're going to view that piece of meat as distinct from the rest of the pot. Meaning, when the milk fell on that chaticha, we said, oh, only that chaticha is baba cheshbon. So when you're figuring out ratios of shishim, only that chaticha, the rest of the pot's irrelevant. And then a minute later, right, all of a sudden, the rest of the pot matters. A minute later, we're looking at this chaticha klape, the rest of the pot. So it seems that we're assuming that the piece of meat is only viewed as distinct when that leads to a chumra. Meaning, l'chumra we view it as being distinct from the pot, as being separate from all the other chumra, but not l'kula. So as such, when the milk initially falls on that piece of meat, so the milk is kineged, that piece of meat, and you're not able to measure in all the rest of the contents of the pot. But when the piece of meat becomes usher as a result of that milk, now we go and we say, let's take that piece of meat and look at it corresponding to the rest of the tarovas, to the rest of the contents of the pot. And if there's no shishim in the pot, klape that meat, then the whole chaticha becomes usher. So that is Shitas Rashi. So again, three interpretations of Shitas Rashi. Either only the part of the chaticha that's outside of the rotav becomes affected by the milk, or the entire chaticha becomes affected by the milk, but that's as far as it goes, only the chaticha, or the entire chaticha becomes affected by the milk, and then that in turn affects the entirety of the pot. So in ascending order of Chumra, those are the three, that's why we switch the order around a little bit, those are the three interpretations of Shitas Rashi. I mean, according to Shitas number 1 and 2, being Minar the Kedera can only make your life worse. It can't make your life better, right? According to Shita number, to the third thing we said, being Minar the Kedera actually would have been very helpful to you. I shouldn't say that it only can't make your life better, because if you were Minar Mitchila, then you would have been able to count Shishim Keneged the Tipa, but at least Klape the rest of the pot, meaning the rest of the pot is going to remain unaffected if you were never Minar in Shitas number 1 and 2. But in Shita number 3, which is really Shita number 1, which is very confusing, but in the third Shita, the third way of understanding Rashi that we said, being Minari the Kedera will make it better for the rest of the contents of the pot, because the rest of the contents of the pot are going to be messed up if you're not Minair, if you leave it as is. Good? So far so good? So now, the Mechaber says something that's somewhat curious, and the Taz and the Shach disagree about what exactly he means. So the Mechaber writes, Nafal chalav l'toch kedera shel basar. Milk falls into a kedera shel basar. Ta'amim ha'chaticha shenafal leh. Of course the Mechaber is not going to say measure shishim, he's going to say ta'amim, you got to taste it. Right? Taste it, imein batam chalav ha'kol mutter. Now you got to taste it, but give it to a kfeila, right? So if it doesn't have any tam chalav, then everything's going to be mutter. V'im yesh b'chaticha mitim as chalav, nesra osa chaticha. If there is tam chalav, good, so it's going to be aser. Umisha'arim bekula, im hayo bekol mash yesh bekedera, me'achatichas vayerek vahamarak vahatavlin kedesh te chaticha zu echon mishisha me'akol hachaticha asura vashar mutter. So if you then take the shishim of the, you take all the rest of the contents of the pot, and there is a shishim keneged that entire chaticha that had already become aser, so then it will be mevatalit. Obviously, if you can identify the chaticha, you must remove it. But the rest of the blios from that chaticha are not going to trafe up the rest of the pot. But if you don't have shishim, it will trafe up the rest of the pot. So a drop of milk falls on a piece of meat. You evaluate keneged. You evaluate it keneged the meat. So that indicates that he's dealing with a case where the meat is considered to be distinct from the rest of the pot. However you understand distinct, right? Rashi, the Ri, Rashi understands partially in, partially out, the Ri totally out. But then he says, if it turns out that there's not shishim connected that milk, the entire meat becomes usr, and therefore the rest of the pot will become usr as well, which means that the Mechaber seems to be assuming somehow it's no longer distinct. Somehow, that which was considered to be separate from the pot, and he didn't mention nier, he didn't mention yet, he didn't yet talk about stirring, right? It's going to usher the rest of the pot. So what happened over here? So the Taz in Sivkot and Beis believes that the Mechaber is talking about a chaticha, shechetzio chutz l'rotav. That's partially out of the rotav. And Mechaber is just saying, like Rashi, that such a chaticha is considered distinct. So if it has a milk taste in it, even though the meat becomes aser, the rest of the pot is fine. But the Taz learns within Rashi that this chaticha is now going to turn around and aser the rest of the pot. Meaning, this two-step process within Shitas Rashi. The chaticha is independent in how it becomes aser. Then, once it becomes aser, it mixes with everything and asers everything. And that's why the Mechaber says that the chaticha is aser, and on top of that, you need shishim keneged the chaticha. Meaning, the third option of how we read Rashi. Right? That the Mechaber seems to be saying, the way the Taz understands the Mechaber, he seems to be saying exactly like the third way of understanding Rashi. Again, the third, which is really the first, the third way that we mentioned of understanding Rashi, that there's a two-step process, falls on the chaticha becomes aser. Now, without doing anything, that chaticha is going to affect the rest of the pot. The shach and sivkatan dalid, is not so happy about that. The shach and sivkatan dalid says that the Taz is totally incorrect in his interpretation over here. And he says, no, the Mechaber is talking about a case where you stir the pot after the piece of meat became aser. A tipas challah fell on it, made it aser. Now, how's that going to affect the rest of the pot? If you stir it. We're not talking about machlokas Rashi and the Ri. We're just saying that whenever the meat is distinct from the rest of the pot, then you evaluate the milk, keneged that piece of meat alone. But then, if you introduce that meat to the rest of the pot, you stir it in and you introduce that meat through stirring. Now the entire pot becomes aser if it doesn't have shishim connected to the meat. Then the shach goes on to say, and by the way, we don't paskal like Rashi. He says most rishonim follow the Ri. Das kol mechabrim chutz mei Rashba v'Rabbeinu Yeruchim kari. All of the mechabrim except for the Rashba and the Rabbeinu Yeruchim v'chein das kol ha'achronim and also the achronim v'chein paskal marshalba goes to the Torah m'viyo aprisha. And therefore, the Mechaber might have been saying that a chaticha was entirely out of the rotav, the Ri. So it's obviously distinct. And there's no reason to assume that automatically it's going to be considered part of the pot. No, it's totally out of the rotav. Why would you consider it part of the pot? No, it's only when you then stirred it that it becomes part of the pot, and then you're going to need shishim keneged that that chaticha. That is the machlokas, Taz and Shach, in how to read the Mechaber.
How does the Taz read the Bamadvar Amurim and the
Chaticha? Yeah, so... one second. Yeah. So what does it say? Nafal chalav l'toch kederi shel basar. Tom minachdik shnafal chalav. V'mein batam chalav hakol mutar. V'im yesh b'chaticha miti'im as chalav. Nesra osa chaticha. O misharim b'kula. Im hayi b'kol mashishim l'chidik d'ar amar batam k'desh te chaticha zu. Echo mishishim me'akol v'chaticha shar mutar. Pamed v'amam b'shalo nir hakederi b'tchila k'shnafal chalav. Elo l'basov. Velo kisa. What?
Meaning, if the point was that there's no
near at all, why would you have to say el lebasov?
Right.
So, yeah. So we're going to have to see what that means. Near mitchila vatsov, and what it means to have only near basov. But yeah, it does seem to read much better according to the Shach. That what are you saying? That you're being menayer it afterwards, and that's why it's going to because you're menayer afterwards. That's why it's going to take everything down with it. So what does the Taz say? Let's just see the Taz inside. Says the Taz. Yeah, how does the Taz read that by Medvar Mamur? That's tough. That is hard, right? Meaning the Taz should say what the Mechaber should have said according to the Taz by Medvar Mamur b'shalo nir hakdeira klal, right? He shouldn't say shalo nir hakdeira b'tchila k'shnevel b'chal elul b'sol. He should say shalo nir klal. Aber near betchila vatsov, or shakisa mishas avil vatsov, akol misar vatsol tamachalav. Ah, so says the Rama. V'chein im lo near klal lo betchila v'lo besov, v'lo chisa klal im yeshish megdera negativ aschalav shenafal, eino aserak hachatich levad b'shar gedera mut. Yeah, okay, we'll get to that Rama later. So that's okay. This is what seems to be the machlokas between the Taz and the Shach. Now, there is a machlokas in the Gemara between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. If you have a drop of milk that falls onto a piece of meat, where, you know, whether you say like Rashi or the Reeve, where that meat is separate, that meat is not considered part of the rest of the pot. So Rabbi Yehuda says, if you don't have shishim of that meat, keneged the chalav, then the piece of meat is chanan, right? Chaticha nas nevela, and the rest of the meat of the in the pot is automatically going to be aser because of min b'mino einu batel. Meaning, once there's a tarovis of that piece of meat, which is now it's meat of iser. It's not just chalav that was introduced to meat. Now that chaticha nas nevela, it's become meat of iser. So we're going to say chanan. And then Rabbi does a second chumra, and Rabbi does min b'mino in a bottle. And then he has a second chumra that even if you stir the pot right away after the milk falls on the single piece of meat, the stirring is not going to help to say that the milk could be measured against the rest of the pot. That even though midoraisa, it should help to say that, okay, let's measure the whole pot against the milk midorabanan. If it fell on one chaticha, then that chaticha, we're going to say chanan, and then it's going to aser everything else. The Rabbanan disagree on both of those points, right? The Rabbanan think that midoraisa, there's no such thing as chaticha nas nevela, and they think that the efshal l'sochta mutter, meaning if milk falls on a piece of meat and there is no bitul b'shishim, then cooking that piece of meat in a pot that has shishim of the original milk draws out that milk, and therefore it's going to be mevatel the milk, and therefore everything's going to be mutter. It's efshal l'sochta mutter. We're not going to say chanan. We're not going to say chaticha nas nevela as long as you now introduce it to the rest of the pot. And since that's another way of saying chanan. Meaning since the rabbanim believe efshal l'sochta mutter, by definition they're not saying chanan. They're not saying chaticha nas nevela. Chanan would say that the meat actually becomes the cheftza shel iser, and therefore it's going to be aser no matter what, and will even make the rest of the pot aser. Efshal l'sochta mutter says that no, as long as you're able to mevatel whatever went into that meat to make it aser, so then the meat's going to go back to being kosher. So they reject that element of it, and the Rabbanan also reject the chumrah about stirring. They say if you're stirring immediately, then there's no question you can measure kenega the entire pot. So then comes along Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and he says we pass like Rabbi Yehuda about Chanan, but we pass like the Rabbanan about the stirring, meaning the stirring does help. We don't have this extra level of chumrah, but we do pass in Chaticha Nas Nevela. So now What does stirring mean? When do you have to stir? And why is the Shulchan Aruch talk about betchila, basof? What's tchila? What's sof? And why does it make a difference? So the Gemara is machlokas whether we have a concern shemaloni or yafa. Is there a concern that maybe if you think you stirred, maybe you didn't? And the Gemara comes to the conclusion that there's no such gezeira shemaloni or yafa, that maybe you didn't. Right? That's the machlokas we just mentioned. The Rabbi Yehuda says chumra. You think you stirred, but maybe nah. The chaticha that it fell on, you got to say chanan because and you can't be mitzayir for everything else because shemaloni or yafa gezeira. Maybe you weren't minayired properly, and really it just went on that chaticha. We don't pask in that way. But when the Gemara describes Nir, it uses the phrase mitchila vatsof. When the Rambam quotes the Salacha, he uses the phrase mitchila vatsof. It's a strange phrase, because once you're Menayer, you know, who cares how long you're being Menayer for? You gave it a stir, it got mixed in, so what's sof? Sof of what? How long do you need to be Menayer for? It's an unusual phrase. So the Tur writes that the important niur is whatever you do right when it falls in. That's what mixes the milk into the whole pot. So why would the Rambam mention this idea of the ad sof? Maybe mitchil v'atsof is just highlighting that the niur b'sof is not good enough. Meaning niur mitchil v'atsof is saying as opposed to only niur b'sof. Because if you only do niur b'sof, that doesn't help because it's already too late. It already became aser in that chaticha. But not that you need a niur b'sof. It's just that you need a niur b'tchila. So Beis Yosef quotes a discussion over here as to what the Rambam means when he says mitchil v'atsof. Does he mean it literally, that it has to be stirring beginning to end? And he says some Rishonim do learn the Rambam that way. And they say that the Rambam understood that the Rabbanan Shita is a partial concession to Rabbi Yehuda, that I understand you think you're not going to do a great job stirring, but if you stir mitchil v'atsof, if you really stirred it thoroughly, then we're not going to make any gzeiras. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda is just going to make a flat-out gzeira. No matter how well you stirred it, you could have been sitting there all day stirring the pot, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, maybe not. Maybe you didn't do such a good job. The Rabbanan are going to say, look, it's possible, you know, I've been in, you know, I've had many times where my wife said, the meatballs are on the pot, I'm going out to shop and do everything that this house needs, because you do nothing, I shouldn't say that, but that's what, you know, I know, and all I need you to do, stir the pot once every 5 minutes, or once every 10 minutes. And then she comes back, and there are a bunch of meatballs burnt on the bottom of the pot because I stirred it once, and then I forgot about it. So you know, it's possible shemalonir but if I know, the Rabbanan say, so if you stand there and you know, and you have alarms and bells ringing that tell you every 5 minutes that you're supposed to be menayer. My wife sometimes sets like alarms in the kitchen. And I'm not in the kitchen, so I don't hear them. I'm like, you need like a boxing glove that will punch me in the face every single time you need me to do something. Otherwise, I will become distracted and I will not remember. I'm not a role model. I'm not trying to sell that as a way to be. I'm just okay. So anyway, so the idea of the Rabbanan might just be that near mitchila v'atsof, and then there's no need for a gzeira. The other way to understand the Rambam is lav dafka, stirring at the beginning is all you need, and we assume that we're makel about that particular issue, so it would be sufficient to stir only mitchila, and that seems to be the Mechaber's understanding, because the Mechaber says b'medvar mamurin b'shelo nir ha'kedera b'tchila k'shenof ha'chalav elo l'besof v'lo kisa avlo nir mitchila atzof v'shekisa mishas v'lo atzof hakol mitstarif levat ha'chalav, meaning he uses the lashon of mitchila v'atsof, but at the very beginning is clear that you were not minar b'tchila. That's really the point, that you need to be minar b'tchila. The Rama points out v'cheinim lo nir klal lo b'tchila v'lo kisa klal im yeshishim b'kedera negativ aschalav shenafal einu asarak ha'chatich levad v'shara kedera mutter v'cheinim nir b'tchila o kisa miyad aval gav de lo nir v'lo kisa l'besof kol ha'kedera mitstarev. So the Taz and Sivkan Dalit says that even the Mechaber holds that you don't need Neir Basof, Neir Mitchila Vatsof, Lav Davka, Elbenir Miyan Sagi, says the Taz. Kamashkos Vatur Behedya. Shach and Sivkan Hey, though, disagrees. He says, no, that the Mechaber is being he's being medayik b'lashono, and he's not just borrowing lashonos of rishonim. And mitchilav atzof against the taz really means mitchilav atzof. But what does that even mean? It's not clear how early the niyur has to be. Even forget about how late the niyur has to be. What does mitchila mean? Meaning, do you have to already be stirring it while the milk falls in? Right? Meaning, when is it ever really? That's the only case that you know for sure you have niyur mitchila. If the milk falls in and then cheese falls into your to your chaland, and you say oh no, and you quickly give it a stir, is that mitchila? Or is that too late already? So it's not abundantly clear when that is. It's got to take a couple of seconds. So we recall the Chamudei Daniel, right? We bring back that Chamudei Daniel, where the Chamudei Daniel tells us that Belios don't travel immediately, but because we don't know a particular shear, we would probably have to be machmir unless you're actually stirring it while it falls in. Meaning the only way to measure the initial shishim keneged the entire measure the initial shishim in the entire pot keneged the tipas chalav is if you were being menarit mitchila. Now, in a case where milk falls onto a piece of meat, again a piece of meat that's separate from the rest of the pot, bein l'rashi bein l'ri, however you define it, the meat's going to become asur if there's no shishim in that meat. And then you're never menayrit, you're never mechaseit, right? So what did we say? So we said, okay, according to one understanding of Rashi, it's still going to answer everything else. Even though you were never menayrit, never mechaseit, somehow it finds its way to connect with everything else in the pot. But every other normal understanding of the Gemara assumes not that way. Now we assume, let's say, l'shitas reed, this makes it easier, right? That it's totally outside, you were never menayrit, you were never mechaseit, it stayed totally outside. It's just resting on another piece of meat. So we said, okay, good, so then everything else is fine. Only that one chaticha is going to be asr. The rest of the pot should be totally mutter. The basar asr was never mixed into it. But it's a little bit surprising, because look what's going on over here. Can you imagine? You have a pot cooking on the fire. Your crock pot is on. There are bubbles, right? It's hot. It's way above Yad Soled Espo. And there's a piece of meat sitting there, and another piece of meat on top of it, and the piece of meat that's on top, touching, not in a package, touching the piece of meat on the bottom, the top piece of meat is basar b'chalav. Chalav has fallen onto it, it's become aser. So mamish mutter? It's mamish going to be mutter? You would think it has to impact the other, not just you would think. L'chora, we discussed negia of one chaticha with another chaticha when they're hot, right? So what's the halacha if two chatichos touch each other when they're hot? Okay, tasa gavar. So then you have a real problem. Let's assume. Tasa gavar. You have it. Tasa gavar, and the bottom one is kosher. So so it's unaffected. The bottom one's unaffected. What's the halacha? Klipa, something, right? Some time went through. So Tosos raises the issue that the Gemara seems to be telling us this idea that milk that's balua is not going to get into any part of the other chaticha unless there's rotav there. So milk falls on tzli, which doesn't have rotav, so it's only yasser. Doesn't spread throughout the whole thing. So it doesn't. It's not going to travel beyond that chaticha to other chatichas. What about kedei klipa? Yeah. So you have to say. It also says that there's a difference between when the meat itself is the iser. It's nevela, it's treif or whatever, versus absorbed iser. That absorbed iser is not going to transfer out of the food without rotav. Because the meat's only usher on account of the chalav habaluaba. So the milk is not going to transfer to the other chaticha without rotav. And that's critical to us, because the Rishonim applied this principle to Kalim also. We paskin that the tam that's balua in one kli is only going to be transferred to another kli through rotav. So that's why you can put meat and dairy Kalim on the same racks and the same burners and the same countertop. Because if there's no rotav, then there's no transference of blios. Problem is, what are we saying? We're saying that if you have a piece of nevela, a shtik nevela that touches another piece of meat, so now it affects the other piece of meat. But a shtik basar b'chalav touches another piece of meat, since the basar is only asr on account of the chalav habaluabo, so it's not going to affect the other piece of meat. What principle does that fly in the face of? Chanan. Right? But basar b'chalav is chatichanas nevela. What do you mean? The bus is only asr on account of the chalav habaluabo? When there's chalav habaluabo, chatichan has nevela, the meat is asr. So it should be the same thing as the nevela. So the Ran raises this issue. To say that the chalav habaluabo is not going to go to another piece of meat because it's only a movement of a blia is against Chanan. Chanan tells us milk falls on a chaticha, so that's it. The whole chaticha becomes basar b'chalav. So the Ran concludes that it must be that if you hold that the chalav is not going to get to the other piece of meat and therefore it's not going to affect the other piece of meat, you reject chaticha nas nevela. There is such a shita, efshal l'sach l'mutter. Meaning the two are incompatible with each other. And therefore, us, what do we paskin? We paskin Chanan. Right? Certainly, not even machlokas, by basar b'chalav, we paskin Chanan. So it must be that we reject this notion that the second chaticha is unaffected. The second chaticha must be affected because we paskin Chanan. And therefore, says the Ran, you don't need rotav to transfer blios. Meaning, if our whole heter with our countertops and our stovetops and everything else and our sink racks and everything else is based on the idea that blios don't transfer without a rotav in between, and the Ran tells me, yeah, but that whole idea, that whole heter is only if you reject Chanan. And we accept Chanan, so now we have a problem. Because that whole idea, that whole notion of nothing transferring without rotav is just not true. Right? The Ran says that, why did we come up, why did Tosis come up with this idea that Bliya is not going to go out without rotav? Because Tosis is bothered by this kasha. The Gemara seems to assume that the second piece of meat is unaffected. But how could the second piece of meat be unaffected? You have shtei chatichos basa to touch each other. It is affected. So, must be because the first chaticha was only had a blia of chalav inside of it. But what about Chanan? Elamai, if you hold Chanan, then you're not gonna say this idea of a blia not going out below rota. So Tosus asked the same problem, asked the same stira, but Tosus has a way to reconcile it. Tosus points out that Chanan doesn't really mean that the meat itself becomes asr. Chanan means that when you try to be mevatel, you need shishim keneged the whole chaticha. It doesn't mean that the chaticha itself becomes a chepsa shel iser. It's a din in bittel. That for bittel, you don't only need shishim keneged the chalav, you need shishim keneged the whole piece. But it doesn't say that the tam of the basar that became usr through Chanan is now viewed as tam of iser that will now make everything else usr. No, the tam of iser travels as far into the meat as the milk travels. And the principle of Ein Balua Yotze El Al Yidei Rotav will tell us that that time of Isser can only be drawn out into other food through a Rotav. Ein Anasar Yochel Esar Ela V'makom Shisar Atzvein Yochel El Chosham. The original meat became Asar on account of the Chalav HaBalua Bo, so you assume the meat can't make other pieces Asar, since the milk HaBalua Bo wouldn't be able to make it Asar. So Tosfos says, now I understand the concept of Kedei Klipa. Why doesn't that Klipa go and ask for the next Klipa? V'chuli v'chuli. Which will then ask for the next Klipa, the next Klipa, the next Klipa. Keep saying Chanan. On one Klipa after the other, after the other, after the other. So he says, because that's not the principle. Tosfos says, Eina Nesu Yachal Eser, Makam Shiz Ratzvin Yachal El Choshav. It stops at a Kedei Klipa. And then when it stops, it stops. So you understand very well that blios aren't going to go from one hot pot to another without rotav. According to the Ran, you would have a problem. So it has to be, if we're going to accept Chanan, which we do, and we're going to accept this principle that if you have one chaticha on top of another, chutz l'rotav, let's assume like the Reed for a moment. As the Shach says, most poskim assume like the Reed. And it's totally outside of the rotav, that second piece of meat is unaffected. Why is it unaffected? Because there's no rotav to transfer the blios. How do you reconcile the two? It means that you have a modified understanding of Chanan. You have a modified understanding of Chanan. Question?
Then were we assuming that Bittul B'Shishim is not really a din? The same as Tom? At least by being about the Chanan.
Well, Bittul B'Shishim of Min B'Mino is certainly not about Nesinas Tam, but there's a Dindra Rabbanan, but Min B'Sheino Mino. No, it is about Nesinas Tam, but Chanan says that it's the Nesinas Tam of the whole thing.
So we're saying it's enough Nesinas Tam to be Shishim, you might get it, but there's no actual.
But as far as how far it can go, right, how far these can go, yeah, then it wouldn't be. The Rambam in Perek Tes Halacha Yud and the Mechaber going weiter in Sif Beis describes a different scenario. A drop of milk falls into the pot, but you don't know which piece of meat it fell into. Okay, a little bit of a different case, which is more common, you would imagine, right? Someone said milk spritzed, went into the pot, I don't know where it fell, it already disappeared immediately, so I don't know exactly which piece it fell into. So since we're not sure, he says you should stir the pot, and then you could evaluate the milk connected the entire tarovas. What's the kasha? I saw milk go into the pot. Quick, stir it! Oh, so there are a lot of problems. So mevatlis l'chachil is one problem. What else? It's too late. You weren't stirring it mitchila. So it's somewhat perplexing. If you didn't stir it immediately, stirring it subsequently is going to cause problems because you already have chanan on whatever chaticha it fell on. It fell on that chaticha right then, chanan. Now you're going to stir it. So according to some, the Rambam thinks that you can't even that you're even allowed to stir the pot at some point after the milk has fallen in. And others say no, stirring is not going to work unless you do it immediately. So if you say like that first understanding, so what do we say? That you could stir the pot sometime later. You know, if there's no immediate niur, then chanan takes effect, l'chora, it should take effect on whatever piece of meat, the milk, is on. And l'chora, therefore, you should require shishim keneged that entire piece of meat, not just keneged the milk. The Tor raises a problem. The Rami says, "Veini meivin dvarav, shemachatichus kulan b'toch harotav, mat sarich l'nair, v'meinim rotav mam mobil l'nair, shemenarachkach." He says, "What's the metzias we're describing over here? If it's a chalent and the chalent juices have all the chatichos inside of it, I don't care that it fell in one chaticha; it's all in the rotav. It's all in the rotav. That is your niur. It's all mixed together on the rotav anyway. And if it's not in the rotav, then being minar is not going to help because it's too late." So, not so surprisingly, the Rambam disagrees with this chiddush of the Rambam and the Mechaber, and holds that no, you had to have been minar b'tchila. But the Shach in Sif Katan Ches claims that the Rambam is distinguishing between the case in the Mishnah where they knew exactly which chaticha it fell onto and this case where you're not sure. The Shach writes, "Kivan she'eino noda ezo chaticha hi, ein lo marba nasis nevela." Startling, no? What's the Shach saying? What was our kasha? The milk fell into the pot. Where? Which piece? I don't know, but it fell onto a piece. So if it fell onto a piece, what should we say? That piece is Chanan. And now I'm going to need Shishim Kenega, that whole piece. The problem is I don't know which piece it is, so I'm really stuck. That should be the problem. Meaning, and that's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says it falls onto the beast. Just give it a stir, and then it's fine. Then as long as shishim connect the chalav, you're okay. What do you mean? There's a chatichan asnevel in there. Says the shach, no, there isn't. Because you, where? Where's the nevela? Show it to me. I don't know which piece. Well, then it's not a nevela. You only say chanan if you're able to identify the chanan. So if you close your eyes and pour milk onto your steak that's frying in a frying pan, and you don't know which steak you hit, and then you stop pouring, you open your eyes, you have no chatichanas nevela. Because you don't know which one it is. V'ef shalas harakol shari ein b'chol nosin tam v'kivin shekein minare sekedera v'toim ovi chavim yesh batam chalav v'baru. It's a chidush in chanan. Chanan only occurs when you can point to the chaticha that became asr. But if you don't know which chaticha became asr, then chanan will not take effect. So the shach himself points out that this sounds similar to a famous sheet in Rishon, to a sheet of the Isser V'Heter, that something is only called a taroves when it's no daha taroves. Meaning taroves is something that we call a moment of confusion. When we have things that are mixed together and we can't identify them, that's what we call a taroves. But there is no taroves if we don't know that there's a taroves. You have a case where you have a little bit of Isser. Let's say Pachos Mishishim falls into a pot of Heter, and then another little bit falls in, and then another little bit, and then ultimately it adds up, and you have Yosem Mishishim, right? You have a ratio that should Aser. So the Ravid says, Kama Kama Batal. So even if Isser keeps falling in little by little, and eventually you have more Isser than Heter, don't worry, eat it, it's fine. Kama Kama Batal. But at some point, even the Ravid would be machmir if you only realize that the Isser had been falling in after it reached the point where the pot, you know, where it was more than 1/60. According to the Isser V'Heter, the contents of the pot are only evaluated. You only look at it and measure it when you realize that there's a taroves. So it's both a kula and a chumra, right? It's a chumra in the case of kama kama batal. Because according to the Ravid, you could just say, okay, comma, as long as you know each time, it's batal, batal again, batal again, batal again, and it keeps becoming batal. Says the Isser V'Heter, even though it may have fallen in 1,000 different times, tiny, tiny drops may have fallen in 1,000 different times, if you weren't aware of them falling in 1,000 different times, and your awareness only came after it was already a shear that wouldn't be batal, then it's not batal. So that's a chumra. But over here, l'cha'ora, it's telling me a bikula, that since I lack awareness of which chaticha it fell on, so I don't have to say chaticha nasavela. I give it a stir, there's my tarovas, and everything's fine. So it sounds like they're saying a similar idea. However, we don't pass like the Isser V'Heter, and the Shach doesn't pass like the Isser V'Heter. The Shach does not think the idea of Satarovus is critical over there, so he rejects the Isser V'Heter, and yet he's still explaining the Rambam this way. So the Shach must think that this din in the Rambam is something about Chanan, that's not about Yedias Tarovas in general. Meaning, the Shach must think that what the Rambam is doing over here is not defining the word Tarovas. He's giving you Yisod in Chanan. That Chanan is only when there's Yedias Tarovas. So again, problem number one that we have with the Mechaber / Rambam is that if you don't know which piece it fell, like the Torah said, Mimanavshach. If it was separate, you know, if it was in the rotav, you don't need to stir it. And if it was outside of the rotav, stirring is too late, you already have chatichanas nevela. Yeah, sure.
What's the svara to be in the pot between that rovas? Just in terms of
meaning the metzias is going to be the metzias, right? So yeah, there's a halachic mechanism, not a metzias mechanism. Hanan is like almost like a chaticha rilus kabid kind of art, that it's got to be. Why is it, you know, we had a problem of involved? Yeah, we're going to get there. We're getting there. Slowly. Then the Shach says, even if Hanan, if you could somehow figure out the Hanan problem, like he did, whose phone is this? You're getting a phone call from Spam Risk. Okay. you didn't like program one of your friends into your phone as Spam Risk. My kids keep reprogramming my other kids' names into my wife's phone under not nice. Well, you're getting a call from Daniel as an idiot. Why would you do that? the Shach points out you get around the Hanan problem, so the Hanan problem is solved, but you still have a problem that of the Chachila being Mvatalis of Chachila. So it says Shach, the aim the hak shows, hey chinar akadeyoshi sari fakol, dilma yesh tambechatichachas, the echivatulusul chachilavim kenavle lemer shiitomakum kol chaticha vechaticha befneatmo. What you should do to solve this problem is have a guy taste each chaticha, let him lick each chaticha, and figure out if there's a tam in any of them. But to mix it all together, that's bitul eschilchila. How could the Rambam tell you to stir the pot and be mivatul yisr? It's mivatul eschilchila. Shach gives two answers. Number one, the Shach says mivatul eschilchila only prevents you from taking some mutter substance that had no connection to the tarovis beforehand and adding it in to be mivatul yisr. Over here, the contents of the pot are all together already. So you're taking that which is already together and already there, and you're mixing it. You're stirring me. Yesh lomer tekim dlo noda le'ez enafal hari nichnas kol akadera b'safek ve'en kam yishu mevatel iser. Mevatel iser chil is to introduce the problem. Over here the problem is already there. When the problem is already there, it's not going to be a violation of ve'en mevatel. Second, he says, there's no iser of being mevatel iser chachila when you're not sure that there's an iser there in the first place. Was there enough milk to aser a chaticha? I don't even know which chaticha it fell on. There are chatichas that are this big, and there are chatichas that are this big. So maybe there's no chaticha of iser to begin with. So the whole thing's only a suffix whether I have an iser. If I don't even know that I have an iser, you can't tell me that I'm being mevatel iser chatchila. So that's as far as the second issue with this mechaber. Then there's a third problem. This Rabbi Kiva Eger points out. Yesh la'ayin. Amai shari larus kein ha'im lo yinair yisrael hatipa bolus chaticha v'alidei nir ma'ayil hatipa v'chaticha sacherus v'avi mevashel basa b'chalav. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, you're taking chalav that has just fallen into the pot, you're giving it a good stir in a pot that's on the fire, and it's a pot of meat that's on the fire, and most of the chatichos of that of meat in that pot have no shaychus to that chalav, and now you're mixing it all in. And he adds, I'll call panim b'leka shishim. At least if there's not shishim. El adiyatam kfeilet, dil mevem esiyatam b'kulav, avral b'shul basar b'chalav. Meaning, the Shach had said that there may not have been enough milk to aser a single chaticha. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, but there may have been. Not only may there have been enough milk to aser a single chaticha, there may have been enough milk to aser all the chatichos, and if that's the case, you're being mevashel basa b'chalav. So if there was enough milk that would aser all the chatichos, that's for sure bishul. So a few different approaches to answer Rabbi Kiva Eger's kasha: why is it not bishul basa b'chalav? Rav Moshe in Yerodei Chelek Aleph Siman Lamed Tes Davar Sheina Miskavi. You're not trying to be Mevashel Basar B'Cholav. You're just trying to get rid of the Chalav. So it's a Davar Sheina Miskavi. No. What's the problem? Psegresha. Is it a Psegresha? Suffolk Psegresha, right? Meaning, it depends. I don't know how much milk there is. If there's enough milk there, then yes, it's a Psegresha. If there isn't enough milk there, then it's not a Psegresha. Ooh, Suffolk Psegresha. You just don't know how much milk is in there. And that's, therefore, Rikivegir Lishitaso. Right, because what was Suffolk Psegresha with Melechus Tzad? And with stoking the coals, right, in the beginning of Basar B'Cholav. Rabbi Kivegra holds Suffolk Psegresha is not a Davar Sheina Miskavi, it's worse, it's awesome. So Rabbi Kivegra says, Gevalt, it's Bishul Basar B'Cholav. Then comes along Rabbi Moshe, he says, no, even Rabbi Kivegra is okay with this one. Efshel Letaret, says Rabbi Moshe, the Kivan Shekol Kavanaso Hacha, who Lehepich mi Bishul. It's not just that you're not having kavana to be mevashel. You're having kavana to do the opposite of what bishul is supposed to do. Dainu de bishul who litain tam. V'hacha kavanos lehepech shari ba levatel tam. V'za odif me'enu meskavin. Mishum deloich balei eich sheyasa. L'chein afilu sav psikresha enkan. Wow. What's Rav Moshe telling us? Sounds like he's telling us he is so. Normally we assume that if you have a psikresha, I don't care if you're miskavin or not miskavin. If it's going to happen for sure, right? It's just the whole idea of davar shein miskavin doesn't apply. And I don't care whether it's nichale or lo nichale. Well, I shouldn't say that, right? Psikresha, lo nichale is, we do care. But says Rav Moshe, when you have a suffix psikresha, if your kavana is kavana hefeches, your kavana is to be mevatel the time, even though you might not be mevatel the time. You might be actually being mevashel. I guess he's saying like psikresha to lonichle kind of idea. Right? Then even if it's a psikresha, it's a psikresha to lonichle. Ah, psikresha lonichle is generally aser, at least midrabanan. We don't hold like the aruch, the chachila. Yeah, but this is a suffix psikresha to lonichle. So on a suffix psikresha lo nichle, where your whole intention is to do the exact opposite, that's going to be mutter. Furthermore, you could argue, since nobody can know if there's time, it's not considered a suffix l'shavar. Meaning, how do we define what's the difference between davar shein and suffix psikresha? I mean, what do we say? You drag a bench, that's davar shein miskavin. Why isn't that a suffix psikresha? If I knew anything about physics, and I was able to tell you, well, the angle that I'm holding the bench and the condition of the soil and the weight of the bench, I should be able to do a calculation that will tell you if it's going to dig a hole in the ground or not. So what makes that a davar shein miskavin, not a psikresha? Because normal people can't do that calculation. So if normal people wouldn't be able to figure this out, then it's a davar shein miskavin. So maybe this is a davar shein miskavin and not a psikresha. Placey suggests a third approach. So again, approach number one is that it's a suffix psikresha, but it's going to be motor, even according to Rabbi Kivegar, might be motor, says Rav Moshe. Approach number two is it's not a suffix psikresha, it's a davar shein miskavin, because nobody could know. The Placey in Pei Zayin, Os Yud Gimel, says that this is not a psikresha of Bishul, because to the contrary, well, it's really the same thing that we just said from Rav Moshe, really. He says, to the contrary, you're trying to be mevatel the bishul of basar b'chalav. One chaticha might have tam chalav, but by stirring it, you're getting rid of that tam. So if there's shishim, you have the right to assume that there won't be taste when you stir it. Meaning, that's why Rabbi Kivegar says, I'll call upon a medalaka shishim. So he still has a question. If there's no shishim, how can you risk mixing it and cooking basar b'chalav on the chance that a kefela won't be able to taste it? You might be wrong. Right, that's very similar to Rav Moshe, really. Then there's the Gilyan Marsha. The Gilyan Marsha in Simon Pei Zayin says that if the meat and the milk were cooked separately, there's still an Isra to be Mevashel Basar and Chalav together, Midoraisa. The Yisubas, even though in Bishul Achar Bishul, so if you already have Basar and Chalav that have been Mevushal together, there is no further Isra of Bishul Basar and Chalav. But if you have meat that is Mevushal and Chalav that is Mevushal, to be Mevushal them together is Nisidar Raisa. You don't apply in Bishul Achar Bishul. But milk and meat were already cooked together. To re-cook it is not an Isser because Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. This case is like a little bit in between. Why is this case a little bit in between? You have meat and milk that were cooked together, but now you're introducing more meat. Meaning this milk that is in the meat has already been cooked with meat. So it's already had the Yisr of Bishul Basar V'Chalav done on it. It's already been Mevushal together with Basar. Now I'm introducing more meat, so this milk is going to get mixed in with more meat? Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. So maybe such an argument can be made over here. So you have all of these kashas on the Rambam, but the Mechaber accepts the Pesach of the Rambam. The Ramah, Kamuvan, the Ramah disagrees. And the Ramah says, V'yesh cholkin esfirilu, de'enu mal mashinir akateirim, lo shinir miyad, shenafu liyasr, v'achin og. Why is it going to help? V'achin og. So, it's a little early, but that's a good stopping point, because that's the end of Sif Beis. Now, the next thing we move on to is Chanan, is really the sugya of Chanan. Sif Gimel and Sif Dalid, Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Ephraim. So, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we're going to be on Zoom. Tomorrow we're going to be on Zoom, and, you know, till further notice, I guess, we'll be on Zoom. But it should be regular time. I'm flying early in the morning, so hopefully the house that I'm at will have Wi-Fi that's good enough to Zoom with, and hopefully we won't have too many hitches in the technology. But 110, Parashat, the whole regular, you know. Okay? All right, everyone have a wonderful day.